This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jimmy hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest. I lost my mind again, out where the river swells with rain. She kindly took me in.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from beautiful Fort Worth, Texas, in beautiful Trinidad World Recording, my studio here in Fort Worth, where we discuss all things music, all things Texas. Your one sole guiding light in a chaotic musical world where you go to the record store and there are no CDs. They're just closed down. The bricks and mortars are gone.
God.
Where do we turn? The voice you hear there, folks, is a guy I've gotten to know the last couple of years, known for being a guy about town here in Fort Worth, now lives in Austin, does work with our old friend Frank Liddell in Nashville. A young guy out there starting to make his mark, playing around. He was up here doing a cooking show in South by Southwest. Yeah. Say hello, everybody, to Rob Bayard.
Hello.
Rob Bayard is here. Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you, sir, for having me into the wonderful Trinidad World Recording Studio.
This has to be big for you as a listener to the podcast.
Just a journey.
Just a journey. Yes. It all comes to this.
Yes. This is the gold at the end.
Well, Rob has written a lot of songs with our good friend Kurt South.
Kurt South, yes.
That's how I knew a lot about Rob. He's like, South's like, I'm writing with this guy, Baird. He's got connections. But he's making it happen. I was like, all right.
Sure, buddy, yeah.
We're trying to get South on here today, but of course he's so hard to tie down.
So just outside his window with
a shotgun.
He's just
looking out the window, and yeah, I called him, and he picked the phone. I'm like, South, you coming in? We got Baird in here. You know, we got stuff happening. How come you're not going to be on the show? He's like, well, I just hear his kids just screaming in the background.
His heart is broken right now.
Heart is broken. Yeah. I heard just him just putting one in the chamber. Just this mailman's lingering on my porch a little too long.
Patrolling the neighborhood in his free time.
Yeah, vigilante out there in the neighborhood. So we're sad Kurt South couldn't make it here. Man, I was also intrigued you've been doing some work with our old friend Troy Johnson.
Johnson, yes.
He's the great Troy Johnson.
A legend in his own right, yes.
Troy's legend began maybe around 1999. He was booking what was that girl's name? Has he ever mentioned her? His very first... Tracy Lynn.
Tracy Lynn.
Does that ring a bell?
No.
Well,
but I believe you.
A couple clubs said, man, this guy Troy Johnson is
it's on top.
You got to look for him to book you.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, what do you mean? He goes, man, he calls me all day. He's very persistent. And I said, man, sounds like a guy for me. Mm-hmm. So me and Johnson started working together early 2000s. And
Matt Pivito days, right?
Matt Pivito. Yes. They hooked up, started booking the band and stuff. So Troy was my booking agent / manager / road manager.
Just everywhere.
Yeah, for a lot of years. So how'd you run into Johnson here recently?
Johnson, I mean, we were at Houston. His name preceded himself.
You know?
I saw him out there working.
Well, he's been with Eli Young.
Right.
Gosh, Kreger.
Kreger. I saw him out there at Kreger just grinding away.
Macon Grayson. Yeah. He did some stuff with Miranda.
Yeah, he's
Bart Crow.
With Miranda, Bart Crow.
I think everybody's hired him at one time.
I think it's just kind of a deal. Like,
if your band hadn't had Johnson in the organization at some point, you're not really a band yet.
Yeah, exactly.
He is a man about the industry, no question.
He's just constantly beating down walls for me.
Yeah. So you guys were down at South by Southwest.
We were there. That was.
You live in Austin now, correct?
Yeah, South by, you know.
Mm-hmm. Is this your first time down there for that?
It's my second year to really get involved. Now that you live in Austin, you just want the hipsters to go away.
Yeah,
just
it is kind of tough.
Just wearing skinny jeans and
yeah.
black hat, like fedoras and stuff like that.
Just buying a $5 grapefruit at Whole Foods.
Enjoying.
Then going out for some frisbee golf.
Exactly. Just taking over my frisbee golf course.
Man, know? I love Austin. I lived there for like 5 or 6 years, you know, right after I got out of school and everything. And, yeah, but I went back there recently with my kids. My sister lives down there. And, man, I was struck by just when you kind of get into the whole family thing. And Austin can be kind of tough. I mean, it depends on what part of town you're in. But you kind of get down there at the 6th and Lamar and think, hey, man, I'm young. I'm with it. I'm hip. Man, you're trying to shop and you're trying to buy just cheap food and stuff.
Right.
But everything's kind of expensive. And,
yeah.
Oh. It's kind of a beating, man. Austin's a little bit of a beating.
I just hang out in my house, and we leave.
Where do you live down? Where do you live down?
We live kind of near campus, 35th Mopac, little house over there.
But you and some other guys, or
me and old Hogue, the tour manager.
Yes, joining us here today as well. Welcome, sir.
From Fargo, North Dakota.
Fargo, North Dakota.
It's a
really?
Far journey.
That's a far journey.
You know.
Well, man. So what? So I hear that you're writing songs with South. Austin, living there. And then today, what are y'all doing? You're up here in Metroplex.
A cooking show of some sort.
Yeah, online cooking show.
Just
a beautiful woman. She does a show.
She's very nice.
Yeah.
Amy. Yeah. Went to her house over there in Flower Mound, where dreams come true, and just cooked some crab cakes, you know?
So are you talking about, do you know how to cook? You kind of a cook yourself?
Yeah, I've been cooking my mom taught me to cook.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I remember you and I, when you came here the first time, we talked about cooking a little bit, I think.
It's a manly thing to do.
It is. It is. You get the grill.
Get a steak and throw it on there.
That's right. Yeah. So what were y'all cooking over on the cooking show?
Crab cakes. Because women like crab cakes. And
your own recipe, or was she teaching you how to cook?
No, it was my recipe. It was quite a journey.
Now, how do you know how to cook crab cakes?
I mean, I'm from the South. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. I don't know if that really...
That's right.
I should be from Maryland, I guess, if I'm doing crab cakes. But I had to learn in college to impress those girls.
That's right.
You got to do something. You got to set yourself apart. Music is not enough these days.
That's right.
Yeah.
You also got to cook and clean.
Cook and clean. Many other things.
So what's old Liddell up to? Our favorite Texas guy in the business, Frank Liddell.
You know,
fans will know him as a music publisher.
Yes.
Guy's been in Nashville for a long time. He was the only guy I could get in to see when I was living there, or the first time I ever visited there. Famous for placing Bruce Robinson songs and many others, but Texas people know that. How did Tim McGraw hear that song? Just because Liddell just beat him down with it.
4 in the morning, Liddell's
next
door, just screaming.
You need to cut this song, man, you know. So that's what happened.
Yeah. You know, just Frank Liddell.
That's what a good publisher does, for crying out loud.
Beats down doors.
That's right.
Constantly.
So that's why the world knows Bruce Robinson songs. It's from Frank Liddell. So how'd you get hooked up with Liddell? Well, you knew Travis, his partner in crime up there.
Travis is also a very interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
A published songwriter in his own right.
That's right. Songwriter himself.
Ran into those guys, and you know, they just kind of looked at me and were like, "You're young. We can exploit you. We can some things." You know.
That's right.
You seem like you're ready to work.
You look like a man willing to be exploited.
There you go. I don't know, man.
Sign this guy up.
Yeah. One day I'm just sitting there, and they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna give you all this, you know, publishing deal and a record deal." And I'm like, I don't really know what all that means, but
What does that mean? What are you working on?
You know,
I know you've been co-writing songs. You did the project down here.
We did it in Austin, in Lockhart.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Lockhart, Texas, man.
That's
barbecue
right.
Barbecue capital of the world.
Oh man, did y'all eat at Black's down there?
God, I ate there the other day.
Yeah,
we did a sweet photo shoot. Mm-hmm. Another journey. Great.
A lot of unique sides offered there at Black's Barbecue.
They really are.
You can get macaroni and cheese, or
they'll have some
it's not like your typical just slaw and potato salad.
Yeah, they have like 20 sides. Yeah.
Yeah, like kind of a cafeteria, really.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
We met old Edgar Black.
Been
for 40 years.
Namesake, yeah.
He drives a old Buick.
Yeah.
He's really playing the barbecue game hard down there.
You know, you've got Black's and Lockhart, then over you've got my favorite, which is Louis Miller's Barbecue in Taylor, Texas.
Oh, of course.
And then in Elgin, God, what's that place name? That's kind of the triangle down there of the great barbecue.
There's four in Lockhart.
Much debate. Yeah, a lot of. God, that place is out on is it Cruz's Market? Lockhart?
Cruz's, yeah.
Cruz's, where they just give you a
German on. Yeah.
They don't even give you a fork. They just give you like meat in a bag. You just have to eat it like with your bare hands.
Very caveman-like, I'm surprised there's not like barbecue wars or mafia wars
I think
going on down
there. There's a lot of people, a lot of guys that won't go one place mm-hmm. and only go somewhere yeah. else, you know.
It's hardcore, man. It's a good place to record, though, besides here. Because uh-huh. you could eat barbecue every single day until
Absolutely.
You gain 20 pounds and it's over with. You
know? What goes more with Texas music than some barbecue on the lunch break?
Catering right there, barbecue every day.
So you're working on, so what's the next step up there with Liddell? He's got, you know, you're writing songs.
God, what's going
on? You're working on a new record or
the
what?
The record's been done since yeah. March okay. of last year, which is, you got to be prepared for that when you start working mm-hmm. with these Nashville folks.
Yeah.
Marketing, whatever marketing.
It's all about when the record yeah. drops, man.
Yeah, just, you know, in the record stores.
Yeah.
That don't exist anymore.
Drops on a Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, wait a second, dude. Why are we distribution? What are we distributing
here?
Why
don't we here? Just throw it on iTunes yeah. and see what happens?
Just Phil does it.
Yeah, right. That's right. That's all we do. We just it goes from like my... Yeah, my hard drive to iTunes in about 2 days.
There you go.
Then there it is. But
it's a quick sell.
Well, it's a different game, though. You're bound to be having fun.
Yeah,
learning
it's great.
A lot.
Learning a lot.
Yeah.
Just, you know, riding the road.
Yeah.
You know.
You've been co-writing with some other guys?
Man, I went to Rabin's birthday party on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I met Gary Nicholson.
Okay, yeah. Remind me what he wrote. I know the name.
Well, most recently from Crazy Heart.
Yeah.
That funny how it feels like flying song. But
right.
He's done, like, I think he wrote with Liz Rose, I might be wrong about this, songs about rain.
Uh-huh.
That great Chris yeah. Knight song, right. It Ain't Easy Being Me.
Mm-hmm.
Old guy, character.
Yeah.
Was like, went
Been
up
around.
To him. Yeah, and recognized him and said, hey, man, I'm Rob. Yeah. We'll be in Nashville next week. Let's write together. Oh, yeah, sure. Picked up the phone.
Is that right? Really?
Yeah, next day he'd call me back. I don't know. We'll see.
That's how those guys get successful, man. They respond. I found that to be true. I got to know Rivers Rutherford and
He went to my high school.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Well, he's a Memphis guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
He won't return my phone calls. Well,
well, he but he was a guy that early on, maybe before his he really started writing a lot of hits. But yeah, man, always was pretty receptive and whatever. If I ran into him, would talk and would call me back and things like that. But
did you ever hear that story about the Highwaymen?
Oh, cutting a song?
And how they jumped over a fence for that producer. I don't know who produced that.
Well, that was probably old, the guy that wrote Luckenbach, Texas. Chips Moman. Did he produce that? That was his mentor, was Chips Moman.
Yeah, and he jumps Maybe over the fence and the cops come in Memphis.
What was that? What was that
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I mean, he's like, man, I've got this song. He's going to Old Miss.
Yeah.
And he's like, he just on a whim.
Finds out they're recording there.
Finds out where they're recording. Finds out where his house is in, like, East Memphis, Central Memphis or whatever, and jumps
the
fence.
Oh, he busts into the studio.
No, he jumps the fence to the guy's house and sets off, apparently, all these alarms. I mean, it is Memphis.
Right.
And the cops come.
Nothing new there.
You know, holding his demo tape from 1991, just being like, man, we've got it. Well, you got to cut this song. And it got cut.
Yeah.
Still in college.
Still in college. That was his first cut. And, as Rivers told me the story of his songwriting life, sitting there at Fido's in the Village, he had that cut right off the bat, you know, just boom, he was just in.
Yeah.
And he goes, and then it just was like 20 years before he had his next cut, or 15 or something like that.
Waiting in the wings.
Well, it was just a classic music business story. But,
because
when I met him, he was just writing jingles over at the Jingle House there when my friend was working. And,
the wrong you know, good was, jingle, man.
Yeah, he was just writing some commercials And I even sang on a couple of them, like furniture commercials and things. Like when they'd pitch stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever.
There you go.
Thomasville Furniture. Rivers wrote this, man.
Dude, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it was just nice lyric about dining room tables or something. With me on vocal.
There you
go. I'm just like, man, we're doing some great work here. But, you know, you were just trying to do anything. You know, they'd pay you $150 to show up and sing a song. And, you know, that's what we were
Pays
doing
for
up
the
there.
Beer for a week, right? There.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, coming up, man, we're going to talk a little bit. Man, Baird lives in Austin now. Of course, I lived there for a long time. And he casually mentions that he knows Landis Armstrong. Not only knows him, Landis Armstrong plays in the band.
Yes.
You fans out there are all perking up right now because you know that Landis Armstrong played in the early incarnations of Phil Pritchett and the full band. Back when I had a guitar player, it was Landis. He would sometimes suspend himself by his ankles from the ceiling and play guitar solos. One time in Fulton, Missouri, we did a sword fight with our guitars all the way up and down the bar at the end of the show. And We went backstage after that. Classic. And we had to go back out and do a couple encores. The crowd was going on. I'm like, man, I've got to do another song. He just looks at me and just goes, you can't walk the bar and then just not do another song. I go, I'll remember that next time. He was right.
He was right, yeah.
He was the scientist of soul, a true philosopher. Landis Armstrong. We'll talk a little bit more about Landis and our common experience with him and other Austin things and Nashville things and Liddell things, etc. with Rob Baird when we come back on the P2 Podcast.
Weeks, they'll always lead you to spring. And though I'll always lose my way, stuck in some lonesome winter day, her light takes me to May and I'm home again. Girl of all seasons, girl of all seasons, girl of all seasons.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. How are you doing? It's Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Did you know you can book Phil Pritchett and the full band? Call me, email me, philip.pritchett.com. We'll come play for you whenever, wherever. And thanks to those of y'all who do inquire and send the emails. I'll always respond to you. We're sitting here with Rob Baird, Fort Worth, Texas own, via Memphis, Texas. Memphis, Tennessee, rather. And then there's a Memphis, Texas, too.
There is. I've been there.
Many times. Rob is a young singer-songwriter. I became aware of him packing the hell out of the Aardvark here in Fort Worth the last couple of years.
Were the days. I don't think they bring me in there anymore.
Your fans are all, they've all out in the real world now. Now you got to go find them.
Yeah.
You got to go play those. Them. You got to go play those gigs in San Antonio for like five people, but two of them are like, hey, we used to come see at the Aardvark. You're like, yeah, what's going on, man?
Happy Friday night at Floors, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just man, like, hey, I got married now. I got two
I'm
kids.
An engineer for, you know, making six figures.
That's right.
Yeah, me too.
How's this music thing working out? You're like, well, we'll see. But Baird now lives down there in Austin, Texas, getting his band together, writing songs. Liddell, Frank Liddell up there, mover, shaker up there in Nashville. So putting a band together in Austin, who does he stumble across? Whose number does he get? But Landis Armstrong.
Nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Just out of the fog.
Landis. You know, Landis used to live in a one-bedroom efficiency apartment right off of 15th and Exposition, right there by the golf course, right there by Lyons Municipal Golf Course.
He loves that course.
And, man, he has that one Strat. He's got a couple different guitars.
It's the one Strat, though.
But he has that one Fender Stratocaster. I think it was a 1968. It's all the paint. It's just a beautiful thing. Yeah. Awesome. He was the guy that originally pointed out to me that I used to just travel with all these guitars, man. I was always just loading in like eight guitars. Landis was sitting there. He had his one amp, his one guitar, and like an 8-foot cable. No pedals, and it just plugged straight into the amp. I'm like, dude, you got to get you some guitars, man.
Yeah, man, what are you doing?
He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you know, man, it's cool. Like when you switch guitars and break a string, get another guitar.
Throw it to the crowd.
He's just looking at me like I'm an idiot, you know? He goes, who are the good guitar players? I'm like, you know, like Stevie Ray Vaughan. He just goes, how many guitars does he have? I'm like, well, just that one. He goes, yeah. Like a Willie Nelson? He's like, how many guitars does he have? I'm like, one. He goes, the real guys have one guitar.
Done.
And I was like, son of a bitch, I've never thought about that before. that's their voice. They have their guitar.
It's the reasoning that you find with people like Landis Armstrong.
Dude, yeah. Landis Armstrong, I can't even remember how he got in the band. Somebody knew him, but man, what an incredible guitar player.
He's the go-to guy in Austin. You're just like,
oh, yeah.
You need a guy for a couple of weeks, just call Landis.
And, man, you could go. He just plays every night of the week. He's one of these guys. You go to the Continental Club. He's on stage with somebody, with Paula Nelson or with the Atlantic Soul Review cover band. And he's just lost in his stuff.
Just gone.
Yeah, just guy just going nuts.
Yeah.
Someone hands him $41 and a Shiner Bock at the end of the night. He just goes home happy.
Yeah.
Buys a taco on the way home.
Most definitely. Maybe three. I don't even know. That guy likes to eat.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah, he
He's
does.
A foodie of some
he
sort.
Is a foodie.
Did he bring his guitar into every restaurant that y'all...
Yes, he did. Yeah. Well, he got his old one stolen before before I met him. He got one stolen. Yeah. And his friend Andrew Napsinger, I don't know if you've met
Napsinger,
him, played with Bruce Robinson. Yeah.
And was he with Fastball? No, he wasn't with Fastball for a moment. Maybe he
was with, he's been with Bruce for a long time.
A beast of a left-handed guitar player.
Oh, a left-handed guitar player. But one time I went and saw Gladiator in the theater. Russell Crowe. When was that, like 2000 or something? And we go into the thing. This is when Napsinger was in the band. He comes walking down the aisle of the movie theater with popcorn, and he's just got two guitars on his back and his amp. He just sits in the seat next to him. I'm like, dude, why are you bringing your gear in your
port? We got locks on the trailer,
man. He's like, man, I don't want to get it stolen. I'm just kind of like, God, you Austin guitar guys are so attached to your gear.
We're carrying around the bass player.
You don't know where your wife is, but for God's sake, your guitar just sleeps right here.
I mean, this bass player, Mark Epstein of Johnny Winter fame back in the day.
Now, that is old school. I mean, he plays
with us. Yeah, okay, he's full time. And he's written a book about bass. And here we are just like, yeah, dude, 1-4-5, let's go. Let's see what we can do here. And, just carrying the guitar everywhere.
Yeah.
Never leaves his side. Takes it out of the case before the gig, 2 seconds before.
That's right.
Straps it on. There you go.
Those Austin guys are a different breed, man. Yeah. We play a lot of shows at the Granada Theater in Dallas. And we'll play a show with, like, I don't know, Ragweed or Pat or something.
Right.
They just got the bus, the in-ear monitors. Yeah. Each guy's got 12 guitars.
The boats everywhere.
Everything.
Guitars, yes.
And then you play with, like, the Gourds or Bob Schneider or James McMurtry. One of these Austin dudes, they show up in, like, a pickup truck, like, all in their own car, like the
just
drummer.
Come in.
They show up.
Yeah.
They just get out with, like, one guitar and a cable, just going, hey, man, can I borrow your tuner? I'm like, oh, okay. They have no merch, no T-shirts, nothing. They go in there. The place is packed. They play their shit, and they go home.
Like a SWAT team.
It is. Yeah. It's just like it's like no frills.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, they probably make more money sometimes.
Well, I think the guys in Austin, and I kind of learned this living down there, is that if you really want to say, man, I just want this to be all I need to do, then you can't have like a lake house and a boat. Like from the get-go, you just kind of like, all right, you got to get down to the efficiency apartment.
Right.
That's $200 a month. I say, well, if I can get like 4 gigs this month, I can pay my rent and
pay off the Honda Fit.
Yeah, and that's how those guys live. Yeah. You know, but that's scary for a lot of guys to see that. But it's good. It's good to see. It's good to be around that. I think because everyone's kind of like, well, man, you know, Alejandro Escovedo or John D. Graham. These guys, man, they never really made it. But man, those guys are really legends. You go elsewhere in the country. People know those guys are, and they made that record back then, and I saw him here, and he was big for a while in the 80s, then he was kind of big for a while in the early 90s, and, you know, he just kind of lives in a small place in Austin and just hangs out, and all he does is play music, and he jumps on stage with guys at the Saxon Pub and stuff, and you're kind of like, I had a hard time getting my head around that when I was living down there, because I was like, you think of these guys as big, but you kind of see them. They live pretty normal lives, you know.
It's like I met Matt Powell down there before we moved to Nashville.
Yeah,
of course. I've heard y'all talk about him. It's like Powell shows up to this meeting. I'm like, I needed to cover a couple Green Hall gigs or something like that.
Yeah,
just shows up, just half drunk and bearded. You know, just
one guitar.
Yeah, I'm like, hey man, you know, thanks. We're just meeting. I'm like, hey, can I like buy you like a burger for coming up here or something? He's like, no, I don't eat this early. It's like 2:30.
Yeah, right.
We do eat.
Got to keep his digestion off.
You know,
on track.
One meal a day, just writing songs and journeyman. You know.
That's really how the guys who that's how those Austin guys roll. Yeah, man. They roll pretty light.
It's genius.
Even Bob Schneider, man, he's kind of a
shows up in his BMW.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He pulls up in his BMW. He's got out. He had the Bluetooth thing on his black T-shirt. Like one guitar.
Let's the women just love him.
Yeah. I specifically asked him. I go, man, do y'all really try to travel with like no gear? And he just thought about it for a minute. He goes, I think the more you do it, and the older you get, you try to get by with less and less.
Yes.
You just don't want to have to carry stuff. You know, he's just like he goes, man. He said, I bring one little amp. He said, I got my acoustic. And he said, we really don't travel as much.
Sell it all. That's all you need.
That's right.
Sell it all.
We did a show St. Patrick's Day or Saturday before St. Patrick's with Soul Hat and Great yes. Austin Band and David Garza, my favorite guy. And same deal. Everyone was a little weirded out when David just comes walking up with one guitar on his back and just goes, "Hey, can I use Phil's amp?" Like, he didn't bring an amp. So I let him use my amp.
Sure, buddy.
Yeah, that's how they roll. They're throwing their new album just off the stage. Dear, anybody want the new record? You know, they don't have to be selling merch or anything. It's just kind of, they just do their thing, and if they're getting paid, they're happy, and that's it, man. That's how it goes. Well, what's next for Rob Baird, man? You playing some shows?
God, what is next?
What are y'all up to these days?
Dude, we have a frat party.
Yeah?
That's right. Friday. Georgetown.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Southwestern University.
Yes, sir.
My alma mater.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool.
We're going to,
Who y'all playing for?
That's a good question.
Yeah. We only have four. Yeah. We got the K's and the Fidels, Kappa Sigs, and the Pikes.
I believe it's the Kappa Sigs.
Yeah.
We've done it before.
Yeah.
And just show up. They built a stage for us last time.
At the house on campus.
Yeah. You know, don't know what to think of us.
Yeah.
In there running our own sound, which is not my favorite thing ever to do.
Right.
You know, but this time I think we have our own PA bringing it in.
Good deal.
Moved up the pay increase. So, yeah.
You ever go down to Rock and Roll Rentals and rent a PA, man?
Oh, man, they just want your life. They want every background checks and every
contact
you have.
But it's cheap, though, man.
Oh, it's a good
deal. You can get like $100 for a kind of a rig for the night.
If you can handle the background check, you have to be there for like an hour and a half, you know. They're calling
to get in the system. Yeah, they want a couple forms of ID.
Yeah.
To be sure. But, man, that's where I met Rock and Roll Rentals. They used to be in a little bitty house over on Old Torf.
Yes.
Before they got this big place. That's where I met, do you know Chris Wall?
Yes.
Songwriter. Yeah. I feel like Hank Williams tonight.
God,
Trashy Willman.
Yeah.
Trashy Women. So Wall was in there, and I introduced myself to him. He just kind of leans over and goes, "What the hell are you renting this stuff for, man?" He goes, "Hell, I got one of these in my garage. You can come get any time." You know, I was like, "Really?" You know, and I was just young, and I was playing fraternity parties, just burgers, mixers, things, just every day almost. And so every I had a weekly gig every Wednesday, so I'd go to Chris Wall's house out by the lake and kind of sneak down the driveway, and he had these two old cabinets in there, a head and a couple cabinets.
That's I played all you need.
And I'd throw in my truck. I had a Wednesday night gig at Nasty's on the drag every Wednesday for like 2 years. And then the next morning on my lunch break at work, I'd take the PA back. But it was always kind of awkward because I never knew. I wanted to like knock on the door and go, "Hey, thanks for the PA." I didn't want to just come and go and not say hi, but you didn't want to bother him, you know, so it's kind of awkward.
Just go pick up
the
PA.
The door would be kind of open, you know, like his car would be kind of in the grass. I'm kind of like, looks like maybe he got home late last night. I don't know. I don't know if there's a who's in there or something. But, you know, sometimes he'd come out. "Hey, what's going on?" I'd go in there and have coffee with him. Or some nights he'd open the door and just kind of have a jug of wine in his hand.
Confederate arrows.
Yeah, dude.
Sending him checks.
Wow. "Do you like the band?" You know, I'm just like, yeah. You know, just then I spend the rest of the day drinking wine and listening to the band with Chris Wall.
Oh, man.
A lot of times like that.
Just that's being like as young as we are and 23, and we have all these crazy people, just finding them everywhere in the corners of Austin. And
you got to keep your eyes open because you'll see them everywhere.
They're everywhere.
And a lot of times you don't know who they are, but I saw a dude at Guero's one time.
Yeah.
Just wearing a kind of a beret, and he had this Fu Manchu, and he had to be somebody.
Yeah.
He was just all black with like red shoes, and he looked familiar. I'm just like, but he had a lot of facial hair. I was like, "Man, who is that guy over there? I can't place it." Like, "Man, that's Rick Nielsen. He's the guitar player for Cheap Trick." Man,
wow.
Like, hell yeah. I thought that's who that was. Over there eating some tacos, drinking a Shiner.
You see McMurtry around town all the time.
Yes. Yeah. He's omnipresent.
Just with a different lady every night, just hitting South Congress. It's amazing.
I used to see him in that Magnolia Cafe not the one in Austin, the other one on South Lamar.
Yeah.
In there.
Just eating
a bowl of oatmeal or something at 3 in the morning.
Of course. Yes. Getting his grains for the day.
The other guy I'd see all the time, we used to go eat lunch at this place called La Feria, which is on South Lamar. Yeah. And Alejandro Escovedo would always be in there.
Just in there.
And Joe Ely, one or the other.
Wow.
I was newly married. We had a baby. And we just in the you know, she'd be like asleep or something. So we'd sit there and eat some tacos. Hey, there's Escovedo, man. There's Joe Ely, you know. And those guys were just around.
You just can't go right up to them, though. You have to
You don't
want to
go. Yeah, you don't want to whip their ass or something.
Situation that you just kind of like lean over to them and backstage somewhere that you snuck back there.
Charlie Sexton all the time.
Oh, of course.
Eating lunch at like Matt Pally, eating lunch at about 4 in the afternoon. Yeah. So I don't, that's what I always ate. I'd kind of go in these odd times and
just wake up whenever you feel the need. Yeah.
Whenever you want to see somebody, of course, you just go to Austin Vintage Guitars.
That's, Sexton had a 47 Gibson in there the other day.
Is that right?
$3,500. I'm like, oh, man. Thinking about selling my truck to get that. I don't know.
Every time I go to Austin Vintage Guitars, Eric Johnson's in there.
Oh, yeah.
Just sitting on a Tweed amp, just drinking coffee. I'm like,
it's a place, man.
Has he left since the last time I was here?
Because
he was
just lives there in the back next
Napziger, to Napziger comes walking out from behind a Marshall Stack. Hey, what's up? Hey, what's going
ridiculous.
On?
It's the best guitar shop that I've probably
it is.
Seen.
It is.
It's
so great. I've bought tons of guitars there, sold a lot of guitars there.
It's you have to really do some deals with old Steve every once in a while. You can convince him to buy something, and the next time you bring something in, be like, no, we're not taking that. I'm like, dude, I sold you a Fender DeVille for $700.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I mean, what are you talking about?
Depends on what it's like any other business. You probably catch him at the on a Friday at the end of the month. Yeah. You know, he's trying to
really
tie some loose ends. You know, tie some loose ends. And I once traded a Silverface Twin. No, wait a minute. I traded my 67 Gretsch, Chet Atkins Tennessean, which I've regretted to this day, for a couple of crappy amps, because I had no amps. Oh my gosh, it got snagged by David Abeda of Reckless Kelly.
Oh,
bought that
David
guitar.
Abeda.
He still got it.
Does he?
I hope he sleeps with it every night.
He should.
Actually, I hope he doesn't. I hope that guitar is still special just
to
me.
With his wife, but no telling.
Well, man, what are we going to talk about in the vault, man? You're over there kind of scanning the albums.
Scanning.
Talking about Petty.
God.
Talking about...
See the vault.
Van Morrison. Goodness gracious.
I mean, what's that Jerry Jeff album?
Yeah, man, we got a lot of... We've done some Jerry Jeff. Oh, man.
Be a surprise. I don't know. God.
We did Viva Terlingua. Of course, you did that with Gary P. Nunn.
God, I've heard so many stories. Jerry Jeff's guitar player, my guitar player and drummer used to play a little bit with Jerry Jeff.
Is that right?
And his son, Django.
Yeah, Django Walker,
Living the Dream. And there's a lot of stories out there. Jerry Jeff would just walk in with a bottle of whiskey in their music room and be like, let's play this Dylan tune. And 45 minutes later, minus 10 solos, just... walks on, the bus shows up, and
that's
it's over with.
Oh, man. Yeah. We all should roll so high.
I don't know.
Well, Rob Baird is here, sharing time, talking about Austin, cooking crab cakes, and all kinds of other stuff. We're going to go over here and grab a record. We don't even know which one yet. In the Vault, next. Stay tuned. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Did you know you can get any Phil Pritchett record your heart desires for just $4? Downloaded instantly to your computer machine, screen, hard drive, player, p2tunes.com, including the new album, Mark of the Human Hand, and the 25-song live acoustic album Alive and Alone. Just $4. Check it out. We want you to have it all. Rob Baird is here.
Sir.
How you doing, man?
Doing good.
Down for South by Southwest, cooking crab cakes, writing for Frank Liddell, getting it rolling, and piqued my interest even more when he mentioned that Landis Armstrong. I've been playing some gigs with him.
Amazing.
Well, oh man, we love Neil Young. Of course, Kurt South said famously, and I see... He's a little sick of Neil Young these days, and I know why. He just goes, if another guy with a beard and skinny jeans tells me about Neil Young, I'm going to turn the shotgun on myself.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, he's not here. Yeah. So our eyes fell upon the great Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere.
Yes.
Neil Young's and Crazy Horse record, Notably short. What have we got? Seven songs on there, maybe? Seven or eight?
It's like Neil just did whatever he felt.
That's right, man.
God.
Explored the space. Did it all in like one take. Yes. I did read an interesting piece on this record that he had a fever or something. Like he was really sick. He had like a 105 fever and he was on this medication. And he was just like laying there in kind of a delirious haze, you know, and he just sat up, yeah, and he writes like "Down by the River," "Cowgirl in the Sand," and "Cinnamon Girl."
Yes.
Like in one fell swoop, like all three of those.
Comes out.
Just kind of came out to him. Then he just blacked out or something. And woke up the next day and he still had it, you know.
Yeah.
So he's one of those kinds of guys that just always just flying by the seat of his pants. Of course.
You ever heard that story? And there's that DVD when he plays at the Ryman and he's. They're all riding in cars to the mm-hmm. gig, like Bentleys, and you know, in the back
of
the driver. And one of the guys is like, "Well, we were recording this record, and Neil just says he has a brain aneurysm."
Yeah.
And they're like, he's like, "Well, I'm going to leave tomorrow. I'm going to get a spring in my head, and I'll be back tomorrow in like 2 days. We'll finish this thing up and play the Ryman with Emmylou Harris."
What was his, biography called? Shaky.
Yeah.
See, that came a couple years ago. Is it Shaky? I think
something
it is.
Something like that. Yeah, I've seen it.
I need to read that, man. I need to read that. Talk about it on a future podcast. The Life of Neil Young. Because it is pretty interesting,
it's
man.
Dark.
He was, he did have, he had seizures. And I mean, yeah, he had some health problems his whole life.
And he's a Canadian.
Epileptic.
Which is always interesting.
Canadian. Did you see him at the Olympics?
I didn't.
Come out and do Long May You Run.
Oh, I did.
It was cool. He was closing ceremonies. Of course, the opening ceremonies, they had Celine Dion and Bryan Adams. You know, it was just kind of like, and the Bare Naked Ladies or something. They didn't have Bare Naked Ladies. No Rush.
Yeah. 1 week. That was the
so then for the closing ceremonies, here comes Neil, man, with the old Martin and the harmonica. Long may you run. It was pretty cool.
I wonder who his like handlers are. I mean, who directs Neil Young in his life? Because I feel like he wanders...
Yeah.
Just daily.
Manny famously didn't get along with a lot of people. You know, he made those records. He signed with David Geffen's label in the 80s and made like a bunch of rockabilly albums. And
David Geffen.
He had a pompadour and Geffen got mad. He said, "Man, you're not making Neil Young type albums." He's like, "What does that mean?" You know, of course, what Geffen meant is like, you know, acoustic, country, cool. But Young was off on a tangent, you know.
God,
and he didn't get cool again until Pearl Jam started... hanging out with him, you know, in the early 90s, you know, and he did Rockin' the Free World and some of that stuff kind of came out.
Eddie Vedder just taking over artists. I saw him, he was on stage with Kings of Leon at ACL. Just,
oh, was he really?
You know, just kind of like, man,
it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, he slowed down.
It's kind of like when Willie just started doing duets with everybody.
And still does.
Well, you know, now he just does a song with Toby Keith or he does a song with Fergie or something, you know.
Yeah.
Because you love Willie, but...
Yeah.
But then you look back, you're kind of like, man, he always did that. You know, he did a song with Julio Iglesias, you know, for crying out loud.
Of course.
But at that time, I was like, man, that's so unique. Wow, how artistic to do that. But Iglesias was one of the hottest pop singers in the world. So he just, I'm like, hey, maybe that's what Willie always did.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just doing what he always did. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how you get in touch with Willie to do, I mean, how that works. You just,
does
he do it in his
You think he'd
house?
Come sing on the new Rob Baird album?
I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah.
You know? We'll give him a call. I'm not scared.
So how'd you meet, who met Neil Young's drummer?
Man, I'm lost. What's
his name?
Chad Cromwell.
Chad Cromwell. Like currently, or is this an old Crazy Horse dude, or has he been with him forever?
I think he's around for a while, but I think Neil uses two drummers, because if you look at that, a couple DVDs, Chad will be on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a longtime guy.
Yeah.
And then he'll they'll bring in a percussionist to do some
wind
chimes or something.
Right.
Yeah, something important like that.
Divide up those duties.
There I am standing in the Carnival office, just lost by the coffee pot.
Carnival, where Frank Liddell works.
Frank Liddell's office.
Yeah, in Nashville.
Just looking around, wondering if they wanted me to write the new George Strait tune, trying to figure that one out. You know?
Did you touch a vase and kind of break it? Like, oops, sorry. God,
you know, just said too many cuss words and drank just a little too much whiskey the night before. Yeah. And then I'm just standing there, and this guy comes to me, he's like, "Man, you're a young guy." I'm like, I'm pretty young. What's up, man? And he's like, "God, my kid. Let me just talk to you about my kid for a while." And he's like, he's lost.
Just bending your ear in the lobby?
In the lobby, just standing there, and just like, "Man, I don't know if he wants to go to college. I don't know what's going on." I'm like, man, you know, maybe you should let him just do his thing, you know? And then Liddell comes up, and he's like, "Yeah, it's Chad Cromwell, you know?" And just continues to talk about I don't even know what's going on. What,
some of his family difficulties,
yeah, stuff like that, and then he leaves, and there he is. He's just like, he plays with Neil Young.
Plays with Neil Young,
of course.
Maybe you've heard of him.
You know.
So Cromwell, does he live in Nashville? Some of Neil's band.
A lot of sessions.
Yeah.
You ever heard that? What's the steel player's name?
I don't know. Neil's.
He was walking down the street. He talks about this too. He's walking down the street, and he's like. They were like, hey, man, this guy named Neil Young's recording. You know, it's like right Neil's kind of getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, you should probably come sit in for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so he walks in. They're all playing. I guess he sets up. I don't know if there's just steel set up there. Starts playing. They play about four songs. And Neil's just like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And then
I'm digging it, man.
There, 25 years later.
Yeah.
You know?
Still
it's
in
like,
the band.
What?
That's great. That's great stuff, man.
Yeah, it's genius.
That's the kind of thing you do in Nashville, you know, and certainly in Austin, too. But you read about, we did Desire, one of the Dylan records, and I think I'm pretty sure they recorded in Nashville. But, yeah, he was driving back from lunch, and he just sees some pretty girl walking down the street with a violin case. He just rolls down the windows, hey, can you play that thing? She's like, huh? He just throws her in the car and takes her to the session, and she played all that, you know, fiddle all over those Desire sessions. Scarlett Rivera was her name. And then she toured with the Rolling Thunder. Just like, man, just talk about fate taking a hand, man. T-Bone Burnett was in that band.
Of course.
The Rolling Thunder Review.
The great Fort Worth.
Great Fort Worth producer, T-Bone Burnett.
God, I'm such a fan. Yes.
Hell yeah, dude.
He is amazing.
Boy, this band in Bacon Fat, world's greatest garage band, brother of Blue Marshall.
Okay, yes.
They live in Effingham, Illinois. They do a hell of a version of a Down by the River. Everybody knows This Is Nowhere.
Yes. The band is named Bacon Fat.
Bacon Fat.
Wow.
The famous just long one-note guitar solo.
Yes.
Yeah. That Neil is so famous for. Another great Landis Armstrong quote. One of Landis' favorite guitar players, he told me it was Neil Young. I just started laughing. I'm Neil Young. God, he's no. I mean, he doesn't do anything. Come on, what are you talking about? Landis just kind of smiles as he sips his Guatemalan coffee, you know, at wherever we were. He goes, I don't like him for his technique. I like him because you can, while he's playing, you can just hear him grinding his teeth. I'm like, I kind of thought about it. I was like, that's well said. Yes. Well said. You can just hear him. You know, and Kurt told a story one time that he'd read a review with Young's guitar tech.
Right.
And how Neil just likes his gear, like, barely functional. Like, they have a fan on the back of his amp, and the tubes are, like, held in with rubber bands, and just the guitar, just the tuners.
Blacky.
He just has to work to play it, you know.
Grind.
Yeah. The great G.E. Smith guitar player. Saturday Night Live, you know, with the hair. And
yeah, guys, ridiculous.
He's played with everybody, you know. And someone asked him in an interview I read years ago, like, what's the best guitar you've ever played? He said, man, I can't tell you the best guitar I ever played. He goes, I can tell you the worst guitar I ever played was Neil Young's Black Les Paul. He goes, I don't think that thing's ever been set up or refretted.
Definitely
just
not.
Like,
just falling apart.
Yeah,
the neck.
It was just like the strings are like 3 inches off the neck. You know, he just goes, dude, it was just the worst played thing I've ever held in my hands.
Held together by Elmer's glue. You know?
Yeah.
I hear you, man.
Neil Young, don't tell him how to play the guitar. No, I guess that's the message.
It. No, definitely. I mean, I sit around and wonder sometimes.
What's that?
How long are these guys going to be alive for, you know?
It's a good question.
You know, Petty, he's going back out for a tour.
You know, I heard the last Petty tour, there's, of course, nowadays there's always kind of, it's like Brett Favre's last season. He's like, man, that's his last big tour, man.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But I guess those, you know, if they'll keep paying Brett Favre, he'll keep showing up. And the musicians, man, as long as they can get paid and have fun, they're going to keep going.
B.B. King sits on a stool every night.
That's right.
Know? It's just like, man, whatever it takes.
Well, and like B.B. King said, he just said, it's not so much me. I mean, I enjoy doing it. He goes, you know, but he's got
9,000 kids.
Well, he does. And he's got 5-6 guys in his band that have grandkids and kids in college. He goes, you know, I hate to just go, oh, man, I'm kind of tired of it, so I'm quitting. He goes, you know, I got a lot of people who are, you know, wanting this thing to keep rolling. They want that next gig at the House of Blues in Houston or whatever.
The thrill
is
not gone.
It is not. Still can get out there and do it. But you know, I think if you went to Nolan Ryan, though, and said, man, if we paid you $40 million, I mean, you might not be able to throw 100 anymore, but you could throw 80, and with your experience, man, you could get some guys out. You know, he just put on the hat. He'd say, hell yeah, he'd just go out there.
Stop working in his beef company. Nolan Ryan's beef signs everywhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd he'd want to go out there. Yeah, he would just, he'd say, man, if you want me, I'll be there. So I don't know. I think we're all like that.
Yeah. I mean, the music business, you don't retire.
That's right. You just die someday. Just
somewhere.
Like old Alex Chilton. Do you know anything about him? No, big Star. He died a few days
Big
ago.
Oh, Big Star's a great band.
Kind of a culty band, you know. They have a hit called 13, which is a really cool song. And he died a few days ago, 59 years old. They were going to reunite at South by Southwest, I heard. Big Star was. And I think they went ahead and did it, and some of the stars down there came out and played in his place or something really cool. I didn't hear how that went. This was a few days ago, so I'll tell
you. There's a lot to be said about faking your own death as well, too.
Yeah.
If you want to really increase your
if you really want to get some hits on Yahoo news page.
Increase iTunes sales, you know.
That's right. That's something Kurt South could benefit from.
I think he could. Just a couple, just come back.
As long as he faked it. As long as he faked it. That's all. That's all I want to make sure of.
He's got to patrol the streets of Fort Worth.
Well, Rob Baird has been here. Thanks for coming by, man.
Thanks,
for making
brother.
Time today. Between cooking show, South by Southwest, making it happen with Liddell up there in Nashville, and so much else. Look for Rob Baird, new music. Y'all still have you have stuff coming out maybe
just
summer, fall?
A free EP.
Really? Where can folks get that?
Man, right on my website. You know,
RobBairdMusic.net. RobBairdMusic.com. Go check it out, man.
Free music, man. I believe in that stuff.
Yeah, man. And Baird, always co-writing with Kurt South.
Yeah, we got a writing trip planned.
Yeah, good.
It's going to be, I'm sure, many bottles of whiskey.
Yeah,
and just
Kurt in his robe. Just
right. Just
we need something. We need something that sells, man. My rent's due.
Just waiting for commission checks for me. I'm like, man, they're not coming yet, buddy.
Well, keep those emails coming. And philippritchard.com. Let us know what you'd like to hear on the podcast. Questions, comments, gripes, or complaints. Rob Baird has been here. Thanks again, sir, for coming
in.
Sir. Keep listening out there. We'll talk to everyone again here on the P2 Podcast. Have a great week, folks. Stay safe out there. Keep listening, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
Now to change your name when so many